The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The amount of people looking for Andy Moore around Positano, it was all the rage. They're asking him what he's going to do next. When's the next episode out? The Football Pod's gone international.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
And while it may only have been a friendly last night, it was an important win for the Republic of Ireland against Australia. They beat them 3-2. Australia is obviously much higher ranked than Ireland, and it's Ireland's biggest win over a higher ranked opponent in nearly two decades. I'm glad I'd say. Karen Duggan is with us to talk to us about this big win. Karen, we were talking about pressure on Vera Powell in the build up to the game and the need for results. Last night delivered.
Yeah, it was much needed, and it just shows how fickle football is. It's gone from Vera being under pressure to now us really believing that we can get a result against Sweden. The result last night was really positive. Things just operated a lot better. The distances between the lines, the discipline, those game management, and the girls just seemed to play without a weight on their shoulders, which I think had started to creep in. There were still mistakes. We obviously conceded two goals that were, you know, similar to the goals we had been conceding, you know, goalkeeper errors and maybe just being a bit slack in defence, not knowing who was to press the player. But the fact that we scored three goals in a game, which doesn't happen against top teams, we usually struggle to score. The fact that the only time we kind of get those numbers is up against the likes of Montenegro, to do it against a top 11 team, it's got to breed confidence into the squad.
Are there clear signs that actually having time together with the team over the last while and maybe post-COVID getting that access and contact is beginning to show signs? Can you see clear indications that the coaching is taking effect?
I think it's too early to say that because this is the first time we've seen a marked improvement in the play in the last seven games. It's the first time we've seen us go out with a lot of ambition and belief in our forward play in particular. So I think it's too early to say that we've nailed it now, but we have a platform to build off. We've set a benchmark, and it's important that Ireland don't drop below that. And I think you saw the clips after the match of Katie really rallying the troops, and you could kind of already tell that her saying this is where we go from here and we don't look back. So it's too early to say fully yes, the coaching methodology is there and the girls are really buying into it. I think it was a really good performance, a really high energy performance. I think something, I don't know if we mentioned it, but has to be commended was the fitness levels. I thought the amount of work that Heather Payne got through leading the attack, Denise O'Sullivan, we're so used to it, but because other people are probably getting plaudits yesterday, it might go unnoticed the amount of work she got through in a midfield three, which is such a tough position, and so much work for those midfielders. And then obviously Louise Quinn, who got player of the match, she was leading the line at the back, and she probably needed that performance for herself too. She said even she wasn't overly happy with her first half performance, but some of the clearances she's made in the second half and some of the errors that Ireland forced Australia into making going along with their play really fed into our hands. So we got it spot on yesterday. So hopefully now we get a bit more consistency. We've been inconsistent from first half to second half, from game to game. But now that we have something to build on, you want to see it kind of embedded in the spirit there.
What was the shape of the team, Karen? What was Vera Powell's shape? What were we trying to do?
It's for me, it's still a 5-3-2. We got the distances between midfield and the back line a bit better yesterday. I think we had a tendency of dropping off too quickly in previous matches against teams that were ranked higher than us, the likes of Germany. And then when we gave them that much possession, they were just able to grind us down and pick holes in our defence, even if we had five back there. But we got the distances right between the lines, helped obviously by the energy levels of Heather Payne and Denise and Jamie Finn in there in particular. I still think that I'd like to see Katie McCabe further up the pitch in terms of creativity and creating goal scoring chances, and she'll probably get on the score sheet if she is up higher, because we do have an abundance of defenders in the squad. We're fairly stacked in that regard. In games where we'll establish more possession, we would hope to see the wing-backs bomb on a bit more. But it was important to get a result yesterday, so I understand why we kind of maintained that back five shape, just to keep the result and grind it out at the end. It was, you could imagine Australia coming out in the second half and really kicking on, but in fact, they went back into their shells and made a lot of unforced errors in the second half. And I was actually quite disappointed with them in the second half, because in the first half they had some really nice passages of play, but Ireland kind of ground them down. I think they were a bit taken aback by how Ireland pressed them.
How quickly can this team progress? Like, what's realistic? So we can't get carried away by this result, like the way we couldn't get carried away by the last number of results, but they were definitely on a bad run. That bad run has been ended. So how ambitious can they be for the qualifying campaign? Essentially, I'm asking, can we expect to beat Sweden, or is that a bit ludicrous after just one result?
It's probably a bit much. It's hard not to get carried away when you go and beat a top 11 team. What it does do is it definitely gives us the belief that the second place spot is up for grabs. Finland are 25th in the world, we're 33rd. Realistically, we have to punch above our weight if we're ever going to qualify for a major tournament. That's just the way the seedings go at the moment. We're always going to be third seeds, and we're always going to be aiming to just go into that second spot and possibly get a playoff place. I think Sweden are too strong. I think Sweden play more similarly to the likes of Germany. They're higher in the rankings, they're powerful, they're direct, and if we drop off them, they could do damage as well. Finland, on the other hand, they can show weaknesses. The only difference with Finland and Ireland is Finland have the experience of qualifying for major tournaments. They've qualified for a good few Euros now. And that's possibly where we fell down in the last campaign. We just didn't have the experience and possibly the belief that we could go all the way and beat Ukraine in that away game. So that's the edge they have on us. But we showed last night that we do have possibly the talent to go out and beat them. It's just whether we can manage our games better and manage the confidence levels and just be a bit more disciplined in all areas of the pitch.
Okay, so second is realistic. If things go our way, you would hope that we will give Sweden a game in the two games and see what happens.
Yeah, like a draw against Sweden really blows the possibility of second place wide open. So I think that would be a phenomenal result for us to go for. The Finland game is massive, obviously. And Slovakia are no slouches either. We've never really beaten them by more than a goal or two. And we saw the start of the campaign, Sweden, off the back of an amazing Olympics, only beat them by a single goal. So they're not going to be any slouches either. And they're the games that we kind of tend to struggle in, the ones where we have more possession. So that's the Finland game and the Slovakia game where I think we can see if this team has really progressed. I think the Sweden one is going to be a massive challenge, but at least now we have the confidence and we have a win under our belts that when we go into this Finland game, it won't have been that long since our last win, even if the Sweden game doesn't quite go our way. So there's light kind of, I think that you saw a lot of relief in the girls' faces after the match yesterday, and the fact that there are camps coming up over the next 2 months, that spirit will kind of live on. They won't have time to kind of forget about it. So I think that there's a lot of positives that they can take going into that. And the Finland game, I think, is the real opportunity.
Yeah, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Kenny, and you were saying that it could have been a year since the team had actually won a match. And notwithstanding there is some crack after the games, that it gets a bit grim. You need wins, even if they are in friendlies.
Yeah, morning, Karen. Yeah, well, absolutely. I think you saw an indication of that, just those pictures after the game last night. It wasn't like mass hysteria after the game, but you genuinely tell that kind of was more relief than anything else, wasn't it, on the faces of the players and the coaching staff as well. I was pleased for the manager. Obviously, there's a bit of criticism potentially coming, or has been coming her way for some time. Can't know about more so than me. So, yeah, it was a nice moment for her. Nice to see her on the pitch after the game, interacting with the players, and I understand the kind of upbeat messages which were coming out after the game, and that's what you'd expect, that's kind of what you'd want to hear from your players. But I think confidence can be a fragile thing, and I think if the Swedish team are as strong as they are, those kind of feelings of kind of self-doubt and, you know, lack of confidence seep very quickly back into their mindset in that game. So yeah, great to hear the kind of positive.
How do you approach the Sweden game then, Kenny?
You're asking the wrong man. There's Karen up there in the screen.
But do you try and go all out for a shock win to like set the team up for the qualifying campaign? Like, so I mean, we were just talking about the Croatia game. That Croatia team had finished third in the World Cup or fourth. Did they win the third best playoff? I can't remember. Like, and we win that game 2-0, and it sets in train. Obviously, we end up with not qualifying, but you know,
But like Karen suggested there, like you get your tactical set up right. You know, you concentrate on yourself. Yes, you look at the opposition team and you target maybe potential small weaknesses, and they will be small. And imagine the way Karen's talking about the strength of that Swedish team, how they operate, how they set up the type of game they like to play. Do they low block? Do they pressure high? Can we get down the sides? You know what I mean? So you pick your team to a certain extent accordingly. But it seems to me like if Karen's suggesting last night that the tactical shape from a defensive point of view was better, you know, nice compact shape, very little distances, very little pockets for the opposition players to play. And that was a little bit evident last night. I only watched the second half, Karen. I got into the house, but they really struggled, Australia. I was actually very disappointed with them, Australia, their second half performance. When they got into the last third of the pitch, I actually thought some of their combination play was really poor. Their final delivery into the box, I thought it was dreadful. I actually thought they made it very easy for the Ireland team. Now, I'm sure you suggest the defensive shape of the Ireland team was a factor in that, and you're probably right. Didn't give them maybe those areas, those spaces to operate in. So I think that's the start. For me, that was always the start, coming against the bigger teams. For me, it was always a case, right, defensively, let's get a defensive setup right, and we spring out from that kind of compact defensive shape. Karen didn't know better than me whether we're capable, and it sounds as if we'll get pushed back into a lower defensive block against Sweden, whether we're good enough and we have the players to break out from that low defensive block and go and hurt them on the potentially counter-attack.
Well, people will remember the Germany games where it was essentially we would have one chance maybe over the 90 minutes, and if that didn't go in, then we were essentially screwed. So, Karen, is the suggestion there that we actually will be able to deal with Sweden better than we were able to deal with Germany?
No, I don't think so. I think that there were still mistakes. Kenny said we got them right in the second half, but in the first half, I thought Mary Fowler was doing a lot of damage straight through the middle. We weren't quite picking up. I think that Australia, they were so sure that Sam Kerr would get on the end of a cross that they just were resorting to that. I think Sweden probably have a bit more dynamic forwards who will get up and support the play, and I think that's going to be a really tough job for our midfield as a three to try and stop them. Australia matched our shape last night. They also played kind of a 3-5-1-1. I think that Sweden will have a more direct shape. They'll have more bodies in the box for us to be dealing with, and it will be harder for us to break. Yesterday we were able to get up and support Heather Payne and Lucy Quinn. I think it'll be more difficult. There'll be a lot more long balls against us. But the Sweden game is kind of a shot at nothing. And now that we do have a bit of confidence, I think we can just go out and play that game. The real focus is the Finland game. I think if we can keep the scoreline low against Sweden, that's equally as important as anything else, as getting a performance or a positive attacking performance against them, because it could go really close with Finland. It could be really small margins all the way to goal difference. So if they could kind of stem that, if it was a 1-0 loss, I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world.
Okay. What about the goalkeeping issues? There was another mistake last night. Is this something that you just have to live with while a team beds down and gets experience, or is that something you need to take remedial action for and find somebody else?
I think that there's an element of that. Maybe the goalkeeper in situation isn't as strong as it has been previously, but it's not helped by the fact that we've chopped and changed almost every game over all of the friendlies. It seems like someone makes a mistake, you take them out, you give someone else a go, someone has a good game, it's not enough, they change it again. There's Courtney and Grace been chopping in and out, and I think that's kind of led to some of the uncertainties in the back line as well. We've spoken about their inconsistencies in the past. It's due to personnel, it's due to shape, and the goalkeeper is a big part of that. They're the first, like the people who marshal your defence. And to be fair to Courtney, she bounced back after making that mistake, but in a game where Ireland don't get, you know, the ball bouncing back off the goalkeeper from that free kick, it's essentially we've got two own goals, and Australia were pretty naive playing zonal defence against the likes of Louise Quinn for our set pieces. Sweden won't make those same mistakes that Australia did. Similarly, Finland will look at that game and they won't make their mistakes. We've actually probably given them a lot to think about yesterday by showing up and having that performance. The goalkeeper situation needs to be sorted. They need to pick a number one. It's not like the debate we have with the men's team where there's two, three guys who are going out there and having flawless performances every game. It's the fact that every game we're seeing mistakes from the goalkeeper. I think we just need to pick one and back her, because it's not doing the girls any good. I think it is a confidence issue.
Right. It's difficult to do when the mistakes keep happening. Like, so you just accept that there's going to be some mistakes and hope the team can paper over them? Or
I'm not sure. I'm a bit confused by the Grace Maloney situation, because she is showing up, and she last year for Reading was so unbelievable. And then she's coming into camp and she's not the Ireland number one, and Courtney is getting in ahead of her. And Courtney's the sub goalkeeper for Everton, so she's not getting game time in the WSL in the same way that Grace is. So I have to kind of wonder what's going on. I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know what's going on in camp, but to me that seems strange. So there's obviously a reason why Grace isn't starting. I don't know what that reason is. Maybe Courtney is a better performer in training, and if that's the case, then maybe someone needs to have a word with Grace, because she obviously has the talent, because we're seeing it week in, week out in the WSL. So it is definitely one to keep an eye on, and probably one that needs to be questioned. All right.
Okay, so that's the main issue at the moment, but all told, it's been a pretty good camp and a pretty good result last night, notwithstanding the fact that it is still a friendly.
Still a friendly. Australia were still missing people, but an eighth loss on the bounce would have been really detrimental. I think it would have been really hard for us to recover, and just the line of questioning that the girls would have had going into the next camp would have been all about pressure on the management, pressure on themselves, is it weighing on you? Whereas now it's just a more positive spin, and it just takes a little bit of the pressure off the girls, which I think is badly needed. There was so much negativity around the way the second half of the European qualifier campaigns, and that was obviously compounded by all the losses we've had in the friendlies since then. So it's just been good in terms of morale, if nothing else. Like you say, we still don't know if they've established a pattern of play, or if that was a one-off brilliant kind of performance. If Australia were a bit under par, it doesn't really matter. We got to win under our belt, same way that Stephen Kenny would love something like that to happen, just to change the kind of narrative around it. So that's all we have now at the moment. Yeah,
good stuff, Karen. Thanks a million for joining us. It's Karen Duggan. Thanks so much. Giving us our thoughts on the 3-2 win for Ireland against Australia last night.